Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Good morning. Good to see you. Ephesians chapter 6, and I would like you to go with me to verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 for our text this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't always preach sermons related to, quote, special days that we observe. When I do, though, there's a reason for it, and the reasons are clear. And today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. I looked up the meaning of Father's Day. And again, I don't often preach sermons just because it's the special day that we have. We're going to today, though, because it's very relevant. Of course, the Word of God always is, amen? And the Word of God speaks directly. But I looked up the definition of Father's Day, and of course, it's an annual holiday. And here's what the definition said, and I thought it just really sparked my attention. It's an annual holiday honoring people's fathers and celebrating the fatherhood, paternal bond, and the influence of fathers in society. It was first proposed by Sonora Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington in 1909. Her father was a Civil War veteran who raised her and her five siblings after their mother died in childbirth. And the account goes on that she was listening to a sermon regarding Mother's Day, which had become prevalent in our culture and our society. And she was the one who had an idea if there's a Mother's Day, then there should be a Father's Day, and it started to take off. But I thought it was interesting that it said it's celebrating fatherhood, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in society. And that is really relevant and powerful. You say, well, what's the reason that you're preaching on fatherhood on Father's Day? Well, we need to be reminded of the fact that in the beginning, God established the family as the first of all human relationships. And from that family, God built society. And the truth of the matter is, nothing has changed since God's design. The family is still the foundational unit of society. And the biggest reason why our culture and cultures around the world completely degrade is the breakdown of the family unit and the breakdown of God's design plan for society. Family is still the foundational unit of society. In fact, there is no church and there is no community and there is no nation that is stronger than the families that make it up. And if that is true, which I believe it is true, especially in a church, then you and I should be reminded of the fact that we need to be ever mindful to ensure that our families are what they should be. We just came off of family camp back at the end of May. It was a blessing. And I'm going to preach on families this morning. There's two elements in this passage of Scripture that we need to address. But we have a God-given responsibility to, as families, to submit one to another for the glory of God. As parents, we have a God-given obligation to work at creating and cultivating a home and an environment that enables or allows or gives our children the best opportunity possible for them to be what God has designed them to be. And so today, with the Lord's help, I want to consider these verses that we've read from and learn some lessons that God has for us here. I'm going to point out two groups in our homes that God is speaking to in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to preach on this subject just for a little while this morning, growing together. Growing together. You say, well, that might seem like a strange title for a message on the family, but there's a lot of truth in it. If we read this passage again, we'll understand, because we know that when our children come into our homes, they grow. They enter our homes as infants, and they leave as something resembling adults, Lord willing. But we also need to understand that parents grow up as well during that same process. When our children come into our homes, our only instruction manual is the Word of God. It's the best one. But listen, parenting is literally on-the-job training. One day you are waiting for a baby to come into your family, the next day and for the rest of your life you become a parent, but nobody knows how to do that instinctively, perfectly. It's learned. Listen, it's learned moment by moment, and here it is, mistake by mistake. It's learned. And so there's a sense in which parents and children grow together in a family. And the passage before us offers some very helpful tools in the matters of parenting and even for children in how they relate to their parents, children growing from childhood into adulthood. And so it's a dual message this morning, and I believe we'll be instructed and blessed if we'll let God's Word work in our heart. And so let's pray and ask the Lord for His blessings, and let's dig into this, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do again thank You for the day. We do ask again for Your blessing on Your Word, and we ask that You bless Your Word for Your sake. And Father, I pray that we would receive from You and from Your Word what You would have for us today. And You know every heart, and You know every need. Lord, You know my needs, and Lord, You know my shortcomings, and I'm thankful for the Word of God that can even point them out, and I pray that You'd help me to have the right heart and spirit to receive it, and then, Lord, to be willing to do something with it. And we praise You for giving us this book that is profitable to us, and it is beneficial to us in so many ways, but it's instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, Lord, we ask that You bless Your Word today according to Your will for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to point out to you is found in verses 1 through 3. And there's a message for learners. A message for the learners. In verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a clear word here for children. So if you're here today and you are a child and your parents are here, or whether your parents are not here, you need to pay attention. You need to listen up. All you kids, children, listen up. Okay? Everybody listening, paying attention. God has something for you from this passage of Scripture. It's a very clear word from God for children or young people. First of all, I want you to understand that God speaks about your actions. He says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word obey is a word that most people don't like. Especially if you're self-willed, strong, stubborn. We don't like the word obey. I don't like people telling me what to do. That's the attitude. Especially young boys. They don't like being told what to do, especially by their mothers. But the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The word obey means to submit to. Here's why we don't like it. Because it means to submit. To comply with, to heed, to follow directions and instructions. It can literally mean this, to hear under. It's a command for children to understand that this is from God for you to be in submission to your parents. It's a command and not a suggestion. It means that a child is to listen to the voice of his or her parents attentively. They're to respond to what they hear with submission. They are to do as they are told. Obedience in a home is not something that is optional. It's foundational. Obedience in the home lays the foundation for obedience throughout life. And this is what, parents, we need to understand. As we are training our children and we are teaching our children, hopefully, prayerfully, the things of God, God is instructing our children to be in obedience to their parents. But listen, listen, that a lot of that responsibility comes on the shoulders of parents to train it and teach it into their children. It lays the foundation for obedience throughout life. Everything in God's universe can be boiled down. Listen, it can be boiled down to authority and to obedience. God has established the structure of authority and submission. And listen, the planets, the stars, the seas, the animal kingdom, it all operates in strict obedience to the commands of God. Do you know that? The winds and the waves, the Bible says, obey his voice. The animal kingdom, at the pleasure of God, will do as God commands. The great fish that swallowed Jonah, when God said, spit him out, that's what it did. There's not anything in God's creation that does not operate in strict obedience to his commands. Except for humanity. Humanity is the only part of God's creation that walks in rebellion to the revealed word of God. That's why we chafe at instruction from God's word. We don't want to submit to it. And as children learn to obey their parents, listen, it is so critical that we understand this. We are setting the stage for obedience throughout their life. Why is it that some people have such a hard time holding down a job so often? I've seen this so many times before. Because of the fact that they are stubborn and self-willed and they will not and do not want to submit to authority in their life. They won't. Because of a rebellious will. That probably started long ago when they were children in their parents' home. Being allowed to get away with a rebellious attitude or heart. As we train them, we're teaching them to submit themselves and to be obedient. They're learning respect for authority. They're learning to obey other voices of authority. Why is it that there's such a rebellion against the police? Why is their attitude so much of the time? Because man wants to be his own God. He wants to be in control. We don't want to submit to authority. And listen, as they're young, so critical, because this is becoming a part of, it will be absolutely a part of their life later on. And let me talk to you young people for a minute. Young person, here's the truth of the matter. Here's the truth. You will always, always, always walk underneath someone else's authority in your life. Always. Ultimately, it's important for parents to understand that we're not just teaching them how to obey us. We're teaching them how to be in submission to the Lord when they walk in obedience to their parents. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, for this is right. So God speaks about actions, but then he also speaks about attitudes. In verse 2, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. The word of God says here that children are not only to obey their parents, but they're to honor them. Honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor means to respect. It means to revere. It means to hold in high regard. It means to fix value. Understand the word picture. To honor your parents means to fix a value on them. It speaks about a child's attitude towards what his parents tell him to do and how they respond. A wicked child can obey the voice of a parent. A parent can say, I want you to go do this, and they can outwardly go and obey and do the thing that they're told to do, but secretly on the inside, they can despise them in their heart. They may outwardly obey, but while they are carrying out those orders, they may be talking about them, mumbling under their breath, even cursing them. I wonder how many young people have done that. Oh, I was guilty of that. I know you are too. Teenager? Young man? When you're not getting your way, something you want to do, but mom is saying, no, not today. We've got other things that need to be done today. You're going to go do this. And you outwardly obey. You do the thing that you're told to do, but inside, where does that come from? It comes from a rebellious, sinful heart. It's in contradiction to the Word of God. Honor your parents. You know, as children grow, this we'll get to this in a little bit when we talk about fathers, but as children grow, they ought to have great respect for their parents. But parents play a huge role in that. We ought to be careful in how we train and raise our children to help cultivate that in them. But the command is still clear, young people. Children should have respect for their parents. They should be careful. You should be careful not to talk back to your parents. Dads, you should never let that go in your household. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You ought to have respect for your parents just as you would the Lord, because the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When our children learn to respect their parents in the home, they grow up with respect for other people too. Children who honor their parents have less trouble honoring the Lord or other authority figures in their life or other people. It's a sad thing in our culture, for sure, a lack of respect for elders, for other authorities in life. And this has happened before, and I've seen it in other places too, you know. Children, they don't grow up with an understanding that I'll always walk under someone else's authority in my life, that there's always going to be authorities in my life, and God tells me to submit to them. God tells me to have the right attitude to them. And it starts when they're young. And I've seen this before. It's even happened, you know, in a church setting. Young people running around, they're not little kids. They're definitely aware. And an older person, an elder to them, you know, says, hey, kids, stop running. Don't do that in the church. Like, you're not my dad. I don't have to listen to you. Or pastor comes along, he wants to shake a young person's hand, and they're just like, and they walk away. Where does that come from? It comes from a sinful heart, certainly. But it comes from a home, probably, where there's not training that's happening in that home to teach children how to obey and have respect for authority. By the way, side note, not part of the notes. This one's free for you. I just want to make a mention of something, though. I love having kids in our church. We have lots of kids, young kids. It's wonderful to see the life. and see the kids playing and so on. But you know, we ought to have some respect, not only for people, but also for the Lord's house. And I don't necessarily have a problem with kids trying to play. Sometimes, especially in the winter, we don't have a place for them to go. It's really cold outside, so they have to stay indoors. But parents, we ought also to be careful of the fact that we not let our children run wild and crazy in the Lord's house and in church. Here's one reason. Number one, respect for the Lord's house. But number two, there's other people who are around. And one of these days, I'm afraid that kids being kids get out of control, and one of the older folks gets run over and somebody falls down and breaks a hip. Then we got a real problem. Parents, you should do something about that. And I'm not lecturing you here. I'm encouraging you. You should do something about training and teaching your children proper respect and appropriate behavior in the house of God. It's all part of training them. It's all part of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which we'll get to. But what we're talking about here is what God's word says to children, to obey and to honor. A child who will disrespect his parents is usually going to have very little respect for other people too. And that's plain to see in our world, actually. As we look at our culture, it's being increasingly filled with rude, insensitive, self-centered people. And we're living in a day when you see it all the time, and clear disrespect for parents. I shared a story with you of an observation coming out of Safeway just a couple of weeks ago. And this little two-year-old girl just absolutely throwing a horrible fit, and her mom dragging her across the parking lot by the arm. The mom was so flustered, she was so embarrassed. She didn't know what to do. And this child just screaming and wailing and calling her mother names. And how do they get away with that? Where does that come from? There's back-talking that goes on in homes. There's grumbling. There's disregarding instruction. There's speaking disrespectfully, refusing to listen. By the way, something we're still working on. When you tell your children something to do, you shouldn't have to tell them five times to do it. Young person, when your parents tell you something to do, they shouldn't have to tell you five times to do it. We need to be consistent. We need God's help in those things. Mostly because the Word of God commands it. It's disobedience to God as much as it is disobedience to parents. When you back talk your parents, young people, when you grumble, when you disregard their instruction, you're being disrespectful. You're being disobedient to the Word of God. And you see the breakdown of culture, the breakdown of society, as you see homes broken down. I want you to look at some verses with me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep your place here. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look at verse 4. 1 Timothy 5, in verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Children are to learn in the home to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Turn in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. So when there's respect for authority, respect for your parents, when there's obedience to your parents, it's obedience to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20 says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, we don't have the time to break all of those words down in these verses. They're just examples for us. Proverbs 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. God takes it serious, is the point. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when there was a rebellious son who would not listen to his parents, who would not listen to his father and his mother, he could be brought before the men of the city and they would stone him because he wouldn't listen. I think the point is that God takes it serious, young person, because it's not just about following the rules and obeying the parents. Listen, you need to submit to the ultimate authority, which is God Himself. So we see that there's a clear word here for young people, that He speaks about your actions and about your attitudes. But there's also a conditional word here. If you go back to our text in Ephesians 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, when a child is told to obey his parents, that obedience is conditioned by the behavior of the parents as well. When the commands of a parent contradict the clear teachings of God's Word, the child, just like anybody else, has an obligation to put the Lord first. Does that make sense? So in other words, a parent could command a child to do something that is in violation of what God says in His Word, and the child then is still responsible to the Lord first before the parent. We have a say in that. We have a part in that. And that truth runs through every area of life. No parent, no authority figure in our lives has the right to command us to do something that is contrary to what God says in His Word, because we're always to place God and His will ahead of anything else, because we have a higher allegiance to the Lord Himself. And so this is the point, young people. You obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, as unto the Lord, and He is still the highest authority. But then I want you to look at verse 2 again, the second part of verse 2, and verse 3. And note this. In verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What is the result? What is the result of being obedient to the Lord in this? Obeying one's parents brings God's promise of blessing in your own life. Who doesn't want that? When you honor your parents, you're honoring God, and God always blesses those who honor and obey Him. God's promise to obedient children is that they will enjoy a quality of life, that it may be well with thee. Also, quantity of life, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The Bible is clear here. The Lord will bless the child that honors his parents. I want that blessing. I still, to this very day, try to honor my mother. If my father was still here, I would definitely be honoring him. I was telling, I think I was telling Cara the other day, I would do anything to see my dad again. Anything. If I could see his face. If I could play golf with him again. Say, Dad, I love you. I'm thankful for your influence in my life. My dad wasn't saved until I was 14 years old. I remember a night and day difference from the man he was before, the father he was before, to the father he was after. God did that. God changed him. My dad became my best friend. And I would do anything to see him again. One day I will. Amen. Praise the Lord. But just to tell him I love you, just to tell him I'm thankful for your influence in my life, I'm thankful that you were my friend. I still try to honor my mother because I still want God's blessing in my life. Amen? But I want you to go back to verse 1 again, because not only is there a clear word, a conditional word, but there's also a challenging word. In verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word right speaks of righteousness. That statement reveals to a child why you should obey your parents. When a child honors and obeys his parents, he's doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, it tends towards righteousness. Children are not told to obey and honor so that you can please your parents. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. We're told to do so because it pleases God. And you're to do this not in an effort to please the folks, but in an effort to please your heavenly Father. It's right in the eyes of God. When your first thought is living a life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord, obedience to honor your parents is just going to be a natural outflow from that. When God is your first priority and you want to obey and honor Him, you're not going to have as much trouble obeying and honoring mom and dad in the home. How's your relationship with the Lord? And so we see, first of all, this message for the learners, but then secondly, in verse 4, there's a message for the leaders. In verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word fathers here, it certainly can refer to both parents, but specifically, the Word of God is speaking to fathers, to dads. And Paul turns his attention from the children now to the fathers. And Paul's words here are very necessary for you and me. They're very necessary for the society that he lived in. They're absolutely necessary for the society we live in. I read some things about culture in that day, in Paul's day. And it almost gave the impression, if it's true, it almost gave the impression that families were even more dysfunctional then than they are now. It wasn't uncommon in some Greek and Roman cultures for men and women to have up to 20 marriages in a lifetime. Mutual love among the members of a family was something that was almost non-existent. In fact, here's what history says, or what it says of the culture of the day, that most fathers ruled the home with an iron fist. And history tells us that in that day, the father held absolute power over the life or death of his family. Just a couple of examples. A father could force his children out of the home at any time and at any age. He could also sell his children as slaves if he so choose. He could enslave them in his own house. He could chain them and force them to work in his fields. He could take the law into his own hands and declare any sentence that he pleased on his children. Such was the backdrop against which the Apostle Paul wrote these words. And Paul is telling his readers that there's a better way, God's way, in the home. Of course, in our day, wickedness abounds still. Wicked parents still abound. We certainly can't do, if these are true, some of these things, we certainly can't do that and wouldn't do that. But a recent study found that the primary reason most children end up in foster care, I didn't write this. Again, if everything you read is true, understand this. The primary reason most children end up in foster care is not divorce, it's not death, it's not financial problems, but simple disinterest on the part of parents. They don't want to care about the welfare of a child. Wow. And so we find here a message for the leaders. First of all, understand there's a caution. Look at verse 4 again. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. This phrase refers to a pattern of treatment that builds up resentment in a child. Provoke not your children to wrath. It's a pattern of treatment that builds up resentment in a child. Parents are to avoid causing their children to, it literally means brood with anger. And this is directed at the fathers. To cause your children to brood with anger. When children are provoked to wrath, they may even act that anger out in open hostility to parents or other authority figures. The word that's translated as provoke and wrath, it comes from the same root word. And Paul is saying, don't cause them to give just like they get. You understand that? Why are children giving that attitude to parents? Because that's what they get. That's what he's saying. Don't cause them to give just what they get. In other words, if we instill in them our negative traits and our negative tendencies, they're going to give the same thing back to us. So how does a father provoke a child to wrath? Well, there's many ways, but I just want to name a few of them. Speaking to children in a harsh, degrading, and disrespectful way will definitely provoke them to wrath. We ought to speak to our kids in a manner that would build them up, that would encourage them, not tear them down. And again, this is a pattern of treatment. It's not talking about a one-off or a momentary thing, but a pattern of treatment. It just grieves me when I hear or have heard parents call their children stupid or dumb or a ditz or klutzy. You can't do that kind of thing without reaping a detrimental effect in their life. That kind of treatment is certainly going to cause them to harbor resentment in their own hearts. No one likes to be spoken to that way. And you know, our children will listen to how we speak to others. And they know the way that we speak about other people or to other people. We could look at several passages of Scripture here on the use of our tongue and how we speak. We don't have the time for it right now, but in addition to what we say, it may not always be what we say, but the way we say things that can be hurtful. And really, if we want our children to respect us, then we should have the same kind of treatment given to them. Now, children are to obey their parents. But that doesn't excuse or justify a parent speaking to children in degrading, disrespectful ways. You know, if all our kids know is just us yelling at them, all the time, what do you think it's going to do? And what are we going to get back? We blow our top so easily. It creates instability in a child besides. And when they're young, you can control that. They live in fear. But guess what? When they're older, they will have absolutely no respect for their parents. Here's another one. Being disinterested in them, in their life. Not listening to them. You know, when we don't give our attention to our kids, we interrupt them when they're trying to tell a story. We put them off continually. We're demonstrating to them that we're not really interested in their life or what's going on with them. And eventually, they're going to give up trying to talk to you or to me. It creates distance. in that relationship. Let's just look at a couple of passages. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 19. It gives us some good instruction. We ought to relate this to our children as well. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Show interest in their life, what's happening in their day. They're telling you a story. It may not be that big of a deal in relation to what's going on in your life, but you know what? It's a big deal to them, to show them that you actually care and are interested in their life. Sometimes, you know, they're telling a story and you're like, is this going to be a long story? And we're doing other things, but why not just stop for a minute and look them in the eye and look at and listen to what they're saying? Like, oh, that's pretty amazing. What did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? What do you think about that? And show interest in them to build that relationship. But you know, we teach them, show them by our actions how much we actually love them. Here's another one: inconsistent discipline or over-discipline. That's another thing that will provoke children to wrath when the rules change every new day simply because of the mood that you might be in. That's a no-no. One day this is not okay and the hammer drops, and then the next day it's like, Children become resentful because they don't know what the boundary is. They don't know where the lines are. And one day a certain action is wrong, the next day you could care less. Listen, children need stability. They need consistency. They need faithfulness. Just like God is faithful to us. And God is stable, and God is consistent. Or over-discipline. When you give your children restrictions, say you ground them for a month because of a small infraction, or you give them a spanking that's harsh when really all that was needed in that situation was some verbal reproof, and you do it because you're in a mood or you're angry yourself, it causes children to be resentful and become angry because they consider that action to be unfair. And it probably is. And ultimately, they're going to give up trying to please you because they become hardened in their heart. Constantly finding fault. Regular punishment, but no praise in a family or in a That's a recipe for resentment too. When discipline is needed, you need to discipline your child for the child's life. You have to do that according to the Word of God, and you need to do it in a fair and a controlled manner. But listen, you know what? Kids also need praise. They also need praise. Reward for good behavior or reward for the right attitude, it's equally important in the life of a child. To give a child, hey, you did a good job. That was awesome. Good for you. I'm proud of you. How many kids never hear that in their lifetime? They never hear it. They grow up thinking they're worthless. Or they try and try and try to gain the approval of their father, and they never seem to be able to find it. Until finally they say, I quit. I ain't doing it anymore. And they leave. Maybe just, hey son, you did really good. I'm proud of you. You're your own person. You're different than your brothers and your sisters. What you did here was good. I want you to know I'm proud of you. Kids need that too. And sometimes that's all the reward they actually need, is just some affirmation. from their parent. God uses reward and affirmation with us as his children. Doesn't he? Yeah, he does. So there's a caution here. Provoke not your children to wrath. But then, not only is there a caution, but there's some good counsel. In verse 4, but, here's the opposite, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We considered the negative side of the equation there, but we should consider the positive side here too. Paul writes and he says, fathers, here's a caution for you. Don't provoke your children to wrath. However, but in the opposite, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It gives us the instruction here that parents are to, number one, enrich their children. We're to bring them up. That phrase has the idea of nourishing them to maturity. We're to tend them and be a part of their life like we would tend to a plant, a tender plant. We're to help them reach their fullest potential in the Lord. We're to help them to really become what they can be for God. They're entrusted to us. And if we're to do this, then we're going to have to invest the one thing that so many parents are not willing to give up. You know what that is? Time. You got to invest time. I read this according to a recent study. The average father in America spends a whopping 3.7 seconds with his children every day. What a tragedy. Not a wonder that there's a generation of problems, right? One man said this. He said, if I could live my life over again, there are at least three things I would do differently. First, I would slow down and be less busy. Second, I would take more vacations. Thirdly, and most importantly, I would spend more time with my family, especially my children. I would throw more footballs. I'd go to more tea parties. I'd play with more baby dolls and build more roads in the dirt that go nowhere. And then he said, if your children are still young, take it from me. Give them the greatest gift you can possibly give them. Give them your time. It's true. We get so busy and we're so concerned with life, it becomes tyrannical and we lose sight of what is important, the most important. Parents are to enrich their children, to bring them up. It has the idea of nourishing them to maturity. But he says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture has the idea of the whole education of the child. It refers to daily discipline. It refers to verbal instruction in the ways of life, in the ways of the Lord. In other words, we're to see to it that our children learn all that they need while they're under our care, so that when they leave and they enter out into the world, they're going to be prepared for the things that they're going to face. That's hard. The parents are also to encourage our children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition, it means counsel, it means encouragement, and it also means discipline. It refers to the act of guiding children towards maturity. There are times when we have to give them guiding direction in life. There are times when we need to give them encouragement in life, that you're doing a good job, you're going in the right direction. There are times when we need to give them some discipline in life. But all of those are used for the well-being of the child, and in the right measure, it helps children end up becoming real men and real women that are able to be what God has designed them to be. And he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. That means that we are to steep them in the Word of God. not our opinions, not our preferences or our prejudices. We're to teach them to listen, if we teach them to believe just like we do, we're going to mess them up. If we train them in the things of the Lord and we steep their life in the Word of God, they're going to grow up and live a life to the glory and honor of God. What does God want out of your life? The best we could ever do is simply point them, continually point them to Jesus Christ. And if our love and our discipline and our encouragement and our instruction, it's all centered on the Word of God and not our own preferences and opinions, then we're doing a better job, or the best job we can, to put them in a position where they can fulfill the will of God for their life too. Keep God in the center. Point them to the Lord. Now, I'm going to wrap it up. And I understand that a sermon like this is sort of like one of those oh me sermons. It can be, at least. There's some things that kind of hit us sometimes right where we live, but understand this, that's a good thing. It means the Lord is speaking. It means the Lord is wanting us to grow. And so what do we do with a sermon like this? Well, first of all, to the children, kids, God loves you. God has purpose for your life. In His time, He'll make that known. But in the meantime, your job is to honor and obey your parents. Your parents love you. They simply want what's best for you. They're not perfect. And you should not gauge your, quote, obedience to your parents based on their performance. You gauge it on what God has given you to do. Maybe you have a parent who hasn't been perfect, and you like to find fault, and you like to pick apart areas where they're weak or inconsistent. And you like to use that to justify yourself. But see, you're accountable to God too. And you need to look at your own life. And so let me encourage you. If you haven't been as obedient or as respectful as you should have been, you may need to go to your parents and you need to ask them to forgive you. I was disrespectful. I've not had the right attitude. I want you to know that I'm sorry and I want to do better. You may need to do that. Secondly, if you're a father here and you've made some mistakes, first of all, I would say, who hasn't? Number one. However, you might need to make some things right as well. You might need to go to your children and apologize. One man said this: children are not looking for perfect parents, but they're looking for honest parents. An honest, progressing parent is a highly infectious person. You know what will make one of the biggest differences in your children's life? Is for you to simply say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. I should not have treated you that way. I should have not have said those things to you. And then thirdly, you might be a parent here of grown children. Your children are gone. They're out of the house. Maybe you tried your best, the best that you could, but your kids are not here today, or they're out of the will of the Lord today. My encouragement to you would be, why don't you just bring them before the Lord once more and trust the Lord that He is going to work in their life? There may be some here today and you've never been saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your sin. God wants to be your heavenly Father. He's provided a way of salvation and a way of reconciliation. Why don't you humble yourself and come before the Lord with a repentant heart and receive His forgiveness. It's a good passage of Scripture. There's a lot more we could say out of it, but we don't have the time now. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way, shape, or form, that's a good thing. Even if it stings a little bit. And let's just purpose in our heart that we're going to make some things right. Maybe it's kids, you need to make some things right with your parents. Make some changes in your attitude. And start thanking God for the parents that He gave you. If you're a parent, father especially, maybe you need to make some things right with your kids too. We're all in need of God's forgiveness, amen. But also with God's help, we can be what He wants us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word. Use it in our life, we pray, in Jesus' name.